Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. 1-800-LIVE. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. We're glad you're with us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. Oh, magic engineer Frank, he's ready to roll. So am I. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about tuberculosis. Do you think it's a modern threat? So we're going to look at some statistics and see what you think. We have a brief crack report, but before we get into all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, minding the time, it grows short. And the devotional today is in Matthew 24. It says, therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's right. He's on his way any moment now. So I hope you are seeking the Lord's face and you're in good rapport with him. Because that's going to be real important as we move forward into the times in which we are in. So don't delay. Crack open that Bible. Seek his face. Pray always. And mind the time. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first and last but not least, here's a quick announcement. This is New York City. They have a problem, apparently, with tuberculosis. Cases are on the rise. They're very concerned about a resurgence of this disease, which is highly contagious in the United States. Health officials are saying that there's an influx of more than 100,000 immigrants from other countries that may be the cause for the uptick of 500 new tuberculosis cases diagnosed in the city just alone. So highest number of cases recorded in over a decade this time of year, and a 20% increase in cases compared to last year. So we're going to talk about that in the first part of the show and hopefully enlighten you as to what you may not know about tuberculosis and what you may know. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, first up here, we're going to be talking about tuberculosis. Is it a modern-day threat? Well, in June 2014, there was some concern that the uptick in tuberculosis, or TB, usually was due to foreigners entering the United States. And in 2013, the TB cases were about 2 to 3 people for every 100,000. But in 2014, the CDC was saying the illegals were 13 times more infected with tuberculosis compared to U.S.-born citizens. And in 2014, the CDC felt that the illegal immigration issue was putting America at risk for more infectious diseases. So what can America expect in 2023 and 24, as TB is now back on the radar? Here's a quote from the CDC. They say, in the 1700s, TB was called the White Death due to the paleness of the patients. TB was commonly called consumption in the 1800s. Well, let's look at some stats here. Let's compare two categories here. So we're going to compare 2013-14 to 2022-23. And we can see that your TB situation is really not getting better. 10 years have passed, and the United States government has really not taken steps to protect America from infectious disease like TB. So we're going to take a look at the CDC's report in 2013 and 14 first. Here's what they cited. In 2013, the rate of TB, infectious tuberculosis, among immigrants rose 64.6%. The U.S. States with the highest TB rates were where immigrants were entering. An average of 500 cases in each state, California, Texas, New York, and Florida. So the access points that immigrants were using entering the United States accounted for a third of the U.S. population. About 51.3% of the immigrants entering the U.S. had TB. Alaska has, for every 100,000 people, 10 tuberculosis cases. The District of Columbia is the highest rate of TB compared to nationwide average, and each infected person has the capability of infecting 250 more people. Now, the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists Surveillance, they stated, the Asian and Hispanic immigrants have a 25 times higher incidence of spreading tuberculosis than any other ethnic groups. And more men than women tend to be infected with the disease. And in 2013 and 14, they reported cases of TB infections were 9,539. Remember that number, Frank. Remember that number. So the CDC stated they were looking, back in 2013-14, at ways to control the TB explosion before it becomes an epidemic. All right, let's jump forward now to 2022 and 23. Let's look at the stats the CDC is putting out. So in this month, October 2023, the CDC released supposedly updated TB statistics. So with more illegals flooding in, we see the result. In 2022, 13 million people had tuberculosis infection. 60 U.S. jurisdictions, including territories, reported TB cases to the CDC. So we're not talking about 5 states reporting cases. It's all 50 states. California and Texas have the highest numbers now. yet the CDC is saying that on their website that there has been a steady decline of TB cases since 1992. However, that is really not the case now. So the numbers speak for themselves, and even so, the statistics should be challenged, as not all the reporting is being assigned correctly or even counted. Doctors can often misdiagnose tuberculosis and not report it. However, the public is being told there's no problem here. Here is a quote from the CDC this year. Tuberculosis incidence is returning to pre-pandemic levels. Now, we can't forget, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, their emergency coordinator, Steve Steinhardt. He said this, TB is a disease most Americans may view as a relic of the 19th century, but it is still an insidious threat, and it can pop up anywhere. And Jean Friedman, she was an RN in Wisconsin, she said it's not unusual for doctors to miss the tuberculosis because the disease is uncommon. You know, doctors haven't been seeing it much. They've been told it's not even around much, so they probably missed that lecture at medical school on it. So the health authorities say they are watching the TB cases, but they do not seem alarmed because they have a vaccine. New York City, October 2023, is dealing with a surge of TB cases, and health authorities are saying it's coming from 100,000 migrants that are flooding in. They report 500 new cases of TB just in the city alone and 20% increase over 2022. Now, get this, Frank. I watched a documentary on Ellis Island recently, and the buildings, including the hospital, the dormitory, have been taken over by foliage, peeling paint, and rust. It's a decomposing time capsule. Now, Ellis Island was the largest federal immigrant processing station in the U.S. It operated from 1892 to 1954, with more than 12 million immigrants passing through its gates. Well, I think it's time New York restores the gate into a functioning immigrant processing station again, and quarantine anyone with infectious illnesses. And I did read that, you know, there is this effort now underway to restore Ellis Island, but as a historic landmark. That's right. They have restored the marine corridors connecting the north side of the island to the south side, as well as the ferry building and the hospital laundry building. So instead of using this gate to help protect the U.S. population from disease, they will sell tickets and souvenirs of a gone-by era when the U.S. people had some sense, you know, back in the old days. So what's in the vaccine? Let's just get that out of the way. The TB vaccine, or your tuberculosis BCG vaccine, is available but is really not routinely given in the U.S. So we're told the formula is an attenuated serum, which is made from a weakened strain of the tuberculosis bacteria. And a theory in vaccine medicine is that a weak version of the infection triggers and arouses the immune system to attack the infection. So the vaccine ingredients include what is called abscisol diluted TB protein, polycarbonate Tween 80, and tween is T-W-E-E-N. It's a synthetic emulsifier, a polyethylene sorbitol ester ethylene oxide, which means it's antifreeze, as well as phenol, 0.25%. And exposure to phenols can cause weight loss, weakness, exhaustion, muscle aches, and pain. So what would be the side effects of getting such a serum? Well, just from the abscisol ingredient alone, the injection site will bleed for 3 days. Your skin will blister at the injection site. You'll have coughing, maybe a deep, dark bruise at your injection site that occurs 3 days after the injection. Labored, difficult breathing, dizziness, and fainting. Other side effects would include vision changes, ringing in the ears, serious skin lesions, itching, rashes, swelling of the face, tongue, and throat. So what would be the symptoms of having tuberculosis? Well, they can vary, especially if you have what is called latent tuberculosis, which is not contagious. So with a non-contagious form of TB, a person may not even know they have the disease. So the contagious tuberculosis, though, well, that's going to pretty much attack the lungs, which is the most common organ it's infecting. Over a period of weeks and months, the lungs can develop mild symptoms such as a cough, maybe some sputum, which could be thick, cloudy, or bloody, fever, chills, night sweats, fatigue, weakness, loss of appetite, and significant weight loss, shortness of breath, and chest pain. Now, if the tuberculosis infects other tissues instead of the lungs, known as extrapulmonary TB, the symptoms would be back pain near your spine, neck pain, swollen lymph nodes. So what can we expect? Well, if someone is suspected to have tuberculosis, a blood and sputum test plus some chest x-rays are going to be ordered to confirm the disease. So if it is confirmed, the patient is normally quarantined. The drugs they give after confirming the case are very dangerous for especially expectant mothers and for anybody with a liver. So the drug can cause liver damage and INH hepatitis, which can be fatal. The side effects from the drugs produce peripheral neuropathy. Patients are often given vitamin B6 to try to counter that side effect. And sometimes doctors will try a treatment of 24-month multi-drug therapies with new medications, which are very expensive, about $300,000 a patient. And the TB treatments are expensive, toxic, and have limited effectiveness. Surgery is often going to be used to remove sections of diseased lung. That could also be in the treatment plan. Well, here's what the CDC said. They said Wisconsin town of Sheboygan in 2013 had 50,000 cases of TB and struggled to control the outbreak. Remember that, Frank, in 2013? I reported on that. They also said in a typical year, infectious disease kills approximately 57 million people, which is 26% of all deaths worldwide. And also Dr. Mike Ryan, WHO Director of Epidemic and Pandemic Response, he says three diseases devastate worldwide populations. AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis, killing about 6 million a year. And if you look at the acute threats that can wipe out millions of people in a matter of weeks, we're still at risk, end of quote. Yeah, and we don't have an Ellis Island, Frank. What's the high-risk category? So those who are at a greater risk of contracting tuberculosis from an infected person would be the elderly, HIV patients, diabetics, autoimmune system patients, people using autoimmune suppressant drugs, and children in daycare centers and schools if tuberculosis is brought in. Well, let's just talk about just a little bit of TB history here. This is Dr. Thomas Normandy. He researched tuberculosis, the White Death, and he collected a lot of documents during his investigation into the disease. He examined many treatments for tuberculosis from the Roman Empire to modern times. And one correlation he discovered is that tuberculosis attacks people in overcrowded conditions like prisons, concentration camps, and in very poor with malnutrition and low immune systems. So just think of the homeless people now. You see them in California, Illinois, on the streets, sleeping in tents. So, you know, this is prime area for TB to spread. Dr. Dormandy even covers what he called bovine tuberculosis, which you contract through milk, cow's milk, which did spur on the pasteurization process. But unfortunately, research shows 10% of the pasteurized milk does contain TB bacteria. So during the 1700s to 1800s, many of the medical treatments from physicians lent themselves to spread the tuberculosis with unsanitary conditions, no good hygiene, bloodletting, and even a starvation diet. Well, I say it's time to muscle up. That's what I say it is, because there are countless pathogens that could bring the next plague, right? Your immune system may be the only thing that protects you from what may come. So you want to keep your immune system healthy. So a healthy immune system relies on healthy blood to carry antibodies throughout the body and destroy deadly pathogens. And medical research from 2009 stated that the best defense against tuberculosis was to have strong killer T cells. These are your antibody cells, because they can kill tuberculosis. And medicine wants to use, get this, cell-derived interferon gamma vaccines mixed with tuberculosis. But you know what? Your immune system already can do this and at a superior rate without adding any more disease into your blood system. So you already have that defense built in. So what I would do with regards to TB, bird flu, bat flu, pig flu, whatever the plague is, strengthen your natural defense system, right? God already installed that for you, and you want to give it some real muscle. So there are herbs that can help the immune system make more killer T cells at a faster rate, circulate them through the body quickly, and protect your filtering organs. We have that power right now. That's what we have right now. We can do all that. So if this is what you want to accomplish, well, then I would call Apothecary Herbs. Give them a call. Their number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972. The web address, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And you might want to check out their pandemic kit and also their thyme tincture. So thyme tincture, your thyme plant, has a natural germicide to kill tuberculosis. I like to pair that formula with the pneumonia kits and the typhoo oils and things like that. It's just lovely to have that. It really did kick the COVID cough to the curb as well. So they have a free product catalog if you want to check them out. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Be empowered. Yep. Yep. You got herbal solutions right at your fingertips. Yep. And the Bible says right there. Right under our noses, herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. And God can't lie. So, you know, people kind of, Frank, gravitate to one form of healing or the other. Some people, you know, really enthralled with modern medicine and they believe that. And so they kind of stick with that. And then there's other people that are looking for alternatives that are gentler and safer and less toxic that work. So, you got man's medicine, and then you've got the medicine the Bible speaks of. See, nutrition, good foods, herbs, medicinals, clean water, healthy lifestyle, that kind of thing. So, thepowerherbs.com, don't know how long. Just so you out there know, if you've been on our website, thepowerherbs.com, and you can't find the ocean Celtic salt, it's because it's not up there now. We cannot get any salt until the next year. Till January. The distributor is flat out of salt. So, I'm sorry about that. So we didn't want a ton of back orders for 2 months, so we had to take it down off the website. So if you want to check with us periodically, see if we have salt, just in case, you know, our order does get shipped to us, be feel free, but that's why it's not up there. Okay, so we're gonna touch base here on, we got a few minutes before we got to go to a break, but we're going to touch base on, you know, we're seeing things in the news, very unsettling, what's going over in the Middle East, and a lot of war going on over there. And when you get war, your chances of disease multiply, okay? So history repeats itself, and when war breaks out, so does disease. So a nation prepares for war with military action. The healthcare sector is hardly prepared for pandemics, let alone war. So when borders break down, disease risks go up. So add to that the resource shortages, financial stresses, and possibly the reality of relocation. You know, you have to leave quickly. You have to relocate. This can bring stress to anybody's immune system. Easy. So we're going to try to be prepared for the worst and hope it doesn't happen. So we're going to step ahead, be equipped, deal with shortages, including even the healthcare sector area. So, you know, it's good if you have supplies and nothing happens, good. I mean, but if you don't have supplies and something happens, that's bad. So, historical road is, if we look back at nations that suffered during war, we see disease on its coattails. So here is a partial list of wartime diseases that can occur. Cholera is on the list, bacterial infections of the intestines, dysentery, which is an infection of the intestines that causes diarrhea containing blood and mucus. This flushes out a lot of vital minerals, and the system can start to shut down. Meningitis, a bacterial and viral infection causing inflammation or swelling of the protective membranes covering the brain and spinal cord. Fevers, typhus, which is an infection transmitted by lice, ticks, mites, and rats. Influenza and pneumonia. So your pulmonary diseases are also go up, and tuberculosis is right behind them. So history is showing us that respiratory diseases take the most lives during wartime, and TB is on your list. During World War II, tuberculosis, rheumatic fevers, hepatitis, and various other tropical diseases were adding to the mortality rates. So in the Civil War and World War I, diseases killed more soldiers than the war itself. During World War II, 50-plus million were the casualties of war, and up to 28 million died from diseases and even famine. So war produces conditions where people are crowded in tight spaces, spreading disease, and we have not even touched on the mental health casualties that of war either, which is definitely a complex element. So the past is an indicator, but what will happen in our modern times with war? You have to be prepared for just about anything. The Journal of the American Medical Association said this May 2022, contemporary wars and civil conflicts have disproportionately affected civilians, some directly, but far more indirectly through the breakdown in public health, the spread of infectious diseases, starvation and famines, and the population malnutrition, disruption of infrastructure such as healthcare systems. Well, if you can't get clean food and water, immune system's going to take a hit. So, according to the JAMA Journal, gender-based violence or sexual assault also increases during wartime. We have to be prepared for this and a lot more. I know it seems overwhelming, but do what you can and ask God to do what you can. And he'll step in and bridge that gap. So, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and we got just a little bit more to share on that. And then we're moving on to some more empowering topics. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, International 704-875-8010, or online at thepowerherbs.com.
007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Stuck, huh? Well, let's get unstuck because we got tools, we got knowledge, and in general, when we're in a war phase, during wars, civilians can lose their access to water, food, sanitation, which can contribute to our disease problem. According to medical life science, during war, men are more likely to die from injuries or disease, whereas women are more likely to be left to deal with the consequences of war and its influence on health. So war does change things. According to the Geneva Graduate Institute, war changes our disease epidemics. According to their report, war will change the ecosphere and the microorganisms. So when you have large numbers of people who may be wounded by explosive devices, or there is a little or, you know, no consistent access to medical care, well, then the bacteria becomes resistant to your antibiotics. And this spreads drug-resistant infections and antimicrobial resistance. So often in war, hospitals and clinics are targeted, reducing the availability of your healthcare, your helpline. So as Captain Kirk would say in Star Trek, it's time for shields up, you know? There's this book, Patriots, Surviving the Common Collapse, written by Wesley Rawls. Could educate you what could happen to an area when war and infrastructure kind of, you know, change things. Usually the infrastructure is gone and there is really no law and order, so then you have gangs filling in the gap. It's kind of a nice book as a survival guide. You can kind of get the gist of what you may have to do, what you have to prepare for. So you'll learn the essentials, what you should put in your bug out bag to get out of Dodge. And usually if you have a bug out location, you got to walk to it. Well, make sure it's not an hour's drive from where you're at, because that'll take 3 days on foot to get there. So, you know, and some people go, well, I can't afford a farm. I can't buy a farm as a bug out location. What, you know, and I'm like, well, maybe, you know, somebody has land and you can put like a, I don't know, used trailer on it. Put some, you know, stock it out with some stuff. So you have at least a shelter to go to, and there's food and water in it. Yeah, so, I mean, there's things you can do to prepare for the ultimate problem. But, you know, get what you need now when resources are fairly available. Don't wait, because, you know, like, we can't get salt. What's next? Obviously, during war, supplies get limited, maybe not available at all. So preparing for the worst, what may happen before anything starts. Really, nobody wants to think about the unthinkable. They don't want to think about survival strategies and what the demand's going to be. But as our inflation increases and it puts essentials further from reach, now really is the time that you are going to need to use this time to get as prepared as you can. And when you do that, don't forget your backup medicinals. You're going to need your own supply of healthcare things. So, and you want something that's got a long shelf life. So, a lot of the stuff that you pick up at your pharmacy or your first aid kits, the shelf life may be 2-4 years at the most. And a lot of times those little blister packs of, you know, aspirins and other types of medications, the expiration date, you know, once it expires, what happens is the elements in those capsules and pills, they start to degrade and break down, and they are actually more toxic after the expiration than before. So think of your antibiotics being quite toxic and then being more toxic if they've already expired. So keep that in mind. So if you're looking for natural alternatives, then you want to look for something with a long shelf life. And the herbal liquids, your tinctures, are going to be the ones with the 10-year shelf life. So I would go with those. Powders, teas, about 5 years. So 10 years for the liquids. And that is if you, you know, store them appropriately. Well, the ultimate is an environmentally controlled environment, but if you don't have that, a root cellar will do. So thinking ahead, think outside the box. Be prepared. Again, that book by Wesley Rawls is Patriot Surviving the Coming Collapse. I think you will get lots of good ideas on what you and your family can do in case there's a problem. And be as prepared as you can for it. So, yeah, I mean, I got bug out bags. I know you're already bugged out, Frank. But. And, you know, to be honest, I kind of did a little bit of bugging out in 2020. I moved out of a city, you know, because that's, you know, where there's, you know, going to be burning and looting and all kinds of nonsense. So you don't want to be, you know, in real populated areas. So I moved to a less populated area, and I'm loving it. Really am. So, you know, be prepared. If Apothecary Herbs can help you get prepared, they have lots of nice essential kits for what may come, heart attack packs, snake bite kits, pandemic kits, power herb packs, cold and flu packs. I mean, they got all kinds of things that have that long shelf life you're looking for. And don't delay, because you never know when, you know, you can't get elements, packaging, bulk herbs, all those essentials to make a product. You just don't know. All right, we're going to shift gears, and we're going to talk about how we can prevent a disease, okay? You know, outbreaks of disease can happen, pockets of them from stuff, and you can kind of keep, you know, track of your counties near you that may be posting some alarms. So with all the advancements in modern medicine, we can still glean some valuable knowledge from our ancient world So there are countless examples of disease outbreaks when many people get crowded together for some length of time. And some examples are slave ships or concentration camps, and also any outbreaks of disease among detained illegal immigrants even. So we also have real concerns over modern hospitals spreading a lot of drug-resistant bacteria. So this is why you want to learn how you can be as disease prevention as possible in your actions in the ancient world may help us figure this out. So we're going to look into a little bit of ancient history. But, you know, hey, Ellis Island, Frank, had a hospital, a dormitory where they could kind of, you know, sequester people and quarantine people, which they had to do, and, you know, kept disease out of America. See? So the ancient writings of the Egyptians show us some very advanced thinking for their time. They typically, you know, shine and stand out in the healing arts for their day. So it appears that there was first the use of ear tubes to drain fluid, and it was first, and they were the first to use casts for broken bones. And there's documents that show that they were the first to prevent the spread of diseases in crowds. Think about that. So antiquity can actually sometimes get the details wrong on how people lived. But in the case of the Egyptians, you know, they had the papyrus, they wrote things down. It appears that, you know, this is one for the case books. So at first, you know, we thought Israeli slaves, built the pyramids. And after more research of Egyptian writings, it was the Egyptians who built them. It was their highly trained builders who built them. And it makes sense because you would not want to hire inexperienced people to build your own house. So to build these ancient complexes, there had to be a lot of people involved. They had to be housed. They had to be fed. And according to their texts, Egyptian pyramid builders were not only free men, but they were also given sick leave and free medical care and paid retirements. So they, you know, out on the edges of the jungle there, or the forest, and they were building these pyramids, and they had to set up a camp for all the laborers. And, you know, people, diseases can spread there, but the Egyptians figured out how to keep that from happening. So here is Martin Shuttleworth. He's a research writer. He said, herbs, acupuncture, and prayer were commonly used to heal. Eastern practitioners contributed greatly and shared knowledge along with ancient Silk Roads and natural therapies that spread this information across the continents, he said. So how did they do it? According to the dig sites in the pyramid locations, they found temporary housing resembling military barracks, bakeries, bread ovens, breweries for beer making. And they also found evidence of their diet and seeds. They had gardens there. They actually planted gardens, and they fed their army of workers from fresh gardens. So from the garden, they harvested onions, garlic, radishes, and leeks, all excellent elements for the immune system and to make you as bacteria and viral resistant as possible. Scientific research shows that these foods are rich in plant compounds that fight these types of infections and prevent the spread of them. Okay, I'm going to read the list again. Onions, garlic, radishes, leeks. So this is how the Egyptians prevented disease outbreaks in their work camps by feeding the workers foods that essentially worked like natural antibiotics. Natural antibiotic-like foods work, but without the side effects and the bacterial resistance. So now who is smarter, the ancients or modern medicine? All right, so let's look at the environment, too, because the Egyptians in Egypt, they had a desert environment, but they also had a very moist environment that, to deal with the Nile. So the Egyptians were the first to make products to prevent eye infections. So it was a product similar to eyeliner, which contained mercury. So that is why the picture of depicted Egyptians on, you know, busts and their coffins and whatnot, they showed this black or blue eyeliner. They also perfected eye surgery for cataracts, Frank. And to prevent blindness, they ate powdered liver containing vitamin A, and notice that they used organic whole foods, whereas today many of us rely on a lot of synthetic supplements and drugs. So that's the thing. They found in this archaeological dig, one of these Egyptian sites, they found the equivalent to a makeup jar, you know. And in it, they analyzed the residues, and it was black. They had black pigments, and they analyzed what that was from. It was some fruit, and maybe black walnut, you know, something like that. And they had the mercury in there. They had all these little tiny little tools, little brushes. So they figured it out. It was makeup. It was eyeliner. And the mercury, I know, sounds like, why the heck would they use mercury? Well, mercury gets rid of bacteria. So that's why they put it around their eye so they wouldn't get eye infections. Not that mercury was really great for you, but it kept out the bacteria, especially in that marshy Nile environment. So natural things, tricks of the trade. And, you know, the Egyptians had the first ancient medical schools that were put down in writing anyway. So in Egypt, the medical students went to school, and the medical schools were called, get this, the House of Life. All the papyrus, all their medical writings were stored in this House of Life. Much of the ancient Greek physicians based their medical knowledge on these writings. So in the House of Life were stored records on anatomy, performing surgery, using sutures, hydrotherapies, pain therapies, dentistry, tooth extraction, abscess draining, and even installing false teeth. So they also learned to set broken bones. They made herbal antiseptics. They learned how to do amputations when necessary, and even making prosthetics. So even before Hippocrates, the Egyptians had a standard for ethical medical treatments. On one tomb of the 5th dynasty, there was a chief physician. Let's see if I can pronounce the name. Ninka Sekhmet. Ninka Sekhmet. And they found he had an epitaph. And his epitaph said, "Never did I do evil towards any person." Well, kind of sounds like Hippocrates and his Hippocratic oath, first do no harm, doesn't it? Yeah. That was kind of an ethical standard that good doctors followed. You hope they follow that today. Well, let's look and see what's still in use. Because the ancient records of remedies from the Egyptians, kind of massive, really. So we tend to hand down information that tends to benefit us and works. And many of their remedies are still in use today. And I'm going to list them. Honey. They used honey as an antiseptic to cleanse wounds and to heal burns. Modern military uses it for burns also today. Also willow bark. They used it for pain relief and toothaches. It became an ingredient also in our modern aspirin. Mint for a digestive health aid. Still used today, and you got after dinner mints to help with digestion. Pomegranates. They used it to treat parasitic worms, and science has found it contains tannins that paralyze the worms. And also mold. They actually would use moldy bread as an antibiotic to stimulate white blood cells in your immune system, your killer T cells. Dr. Fleming rediscovered that and called it penicillin. Mm-hmm. So we're still learning, ever learning. There were ancient therapies of record that did not work And there were also some that were not beneficial to patients at all, such as, you know, using mercury, bloodletting, alchemy, all those other things. And just as today, there are therapies that really don't work very well and don't benefit patients. Chemotherapy's one. See? So we are always learning. And the earliest record of an important Egyptian physician was a dentist. And his title was Chief of Dentists and Doctors to King Djoser, 2700 BC. So the first record of a female Egyptian was Pesahet, 2400 BC, and she is mentioned as the survivor of all the female physicians. Oh, supervisor. She was the head doc. So in Egyptian civilization, the physicians worked for the royal court, and beneath them were the inspectors and supervisors. So the Egyptians were the first medical establishment to have specialties, and they had physicians for things like dentistry, gastroenterology, ophthalmology, proctologists, bone guys, you know. So the proctologists often gave enemas, and it was called Shepherd of the Anus. Oh, but it was. And, you know, they didn't really call it science, but whatever they called it, they felt it was quite sacred because it helped people. So what we are rediscovering from the ancient records and their ways of healing is this type of sacred science, if you will. So the ancient Egyptian civilization existed from 3300 to 525 BC, and over the thousands of years, miracle remedies were discovered, lost, and rediscovered again. And in some instances, the ancient Egyptians knew a condition could stem from the physical, or it can stem from the mental, or even the spiritual. They even wrote about demon possession. So the ancient Egyptian record is called the Ebers Papyrus of 1500 BC. It contains over 700 remedies from 3400 BC, including demon possession remedies. This record proves that Egyptian physicians had an excellent understanding of the skeletal structure and how your organs actually worked. So the Egyptians of the ancient world became experts at preserving life and the body after death. And the modern opinion on ancient medicine is that it was, you know, ineffective, barbaric, was more about mysticism. But here's what some doctors say of the ancient Egyptian physicians. This is what they say. Wash and shave to prevent infections. Eat carefully and avoid unclean animals and raw fish. That was in one of the ancient records. So this is what physicians were telling their patients back in the ancient kingdom. Now, Daniel Murrell, medical doctor, internal medicine physician, and also of infectious disease, University of Illinois, he says the ancient Egyptians had an understanding of the cardiovascular system, which was surprisingly sophisticated and accurate. End of quote. Surprisingly. Well, let's look at the universal bacteria buster, shall we? Let's just go there. The ancient Egyptians and other ancient cultures used garlic, hey Frank, there's your herb, to protect from bacterial infections. And in 2015, University of Putra, Malaysia, reported that garlic kills drug-resistant bacteria causing urinary tract infections. Now, the research did get published in the July 2015 Pratenka Journal of Tropical Agricultural Science. According to the report, your urinary tract infections are the second most common bacterial infection in large communities of people. So every year there's 150 million people that get diagnosed globally with an infection costing billions of dollars in antibiotics. They really don't really clear the infection effectively. So the research shows that your garlic has at least an 82% success rate at cleaning up a bacterial infection or UTI. urinary tract infection. Let's see, Birla Institute of Technology and Sciences in India says garlic shows evidence it has the potential to perhaps clear other microbial infections, and we hope to discover its properties and isolate them for pharmaceutical therapies. Well, you already got garlic. Why do you got to wait for them? I say go for it. So you got plant powers, what God gave you. In April 2019, research at John Innes Center for Norfolk, England, reported that herbs have power. According to the research team, they mentioned over 2,000 years ago, these herbs that contain precious chemistries, which unlock a wide array of therapeutic action. So their goal is to unlock those herbal mysteries, make pharmaceutical drugs out of them. Their report also says how valuable these herbs are, things like skullcap, mint, and others. They say they provide flavonoids, antibacterial protection, antiviral protection, antioxidants, anti-cancer protection, and liver regeneration and neurological regenerating properties. So, one interesting detail from their report was that medicinal herbs have complex DNA with a lot of subsets, so they refer to them as having pseudo-chromosomes. So the Journal of Molecule Plant reported on these efforts. They're trying to sequence the DNA of a lot of these herbs and compounds. They want to re-engineer them metabolically. I say, hey, don't mess with God's copyright. It's already perfect. So according to that report, Kathy Martin, professor at John Innes, she said, when we started getting data analysis back on the plant genome sequences, it was like a revelation. It showed a fundamental level of how the pathway to valuable compounds evolved. Well, that would have been Kathy, God himself. Chief chemist, everything's perfect. So, you know, you don't need a drug depot. You just need God's herbs, basically. That's how I'm looking at it. I think modern medicine is great for trauma care, but, you know, if we're gonna have issues of wars and rumors of wars, and we're going to have economic problems and having problems getting stuff, you know, don't wait for to hit the fan. Do something now. Do something. Get prepared. You'll have the stuff. 10-year shelf life. It's going to be serving you one way or another, either in good or bad times. It's going to be there. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Their number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., call 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972. Or visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. The Power Herbs. Take the power back, get empowered, and be well. Oh, man, I'm out of time. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.